Headlines are made each time Luigi Mangione appears in court for the alleged killing of United Healthcare executive Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. Journalist John Richardson has written a new book on the subject, Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. It is the first book to explain why the world was primed for the Luigi moment, showing the history that led him to be embraced as an Avenger with an affection not seen since Jesse James or Robin Hood. In writing the book, Richardson discovered that this case goes beyond Luigi. He found that this kind of disillusionment has spread throughout the country to a range of causes, from people concerned about the environment, about the standing of men, and the arrival of AI, about the cluelessness of government, and about capitalism itself and the systems it has put in place. John Richardson was a staff writer at Premier and New York magazines before joining Esquire, where he was a writer-at-large for 18 years. The new book is Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. It is published by Simon & Schuster, and we welcome John Richardson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Hello, Joe. It's great to be here.
I was interested in the book that you sort of start in your career, that one of the things that started to you looked at was Ted Kaczynski and what happened with the Unabomber. And you had covered that, and some parallels started to be drawn. Can you talk a little bit about what it was about this story that got you interested in following those connections?
Well, originally, it was just a kid I met. I was on a story in Arizona in 2004, and it's a group of activists, environmental activists, trying to fight a lion hunt down there. I was tagging along because I was interested in the leader of the group, but this kid kept talking about Ted and how Ted had good ideas about this or that. And I thought he was talking about a relative or something, or a friend. And then I realized he was talking about Ted Kaczynski, and I was pretty shocked because I was like, hey, but Ted Kaczynski killed people. And he was like, yeah, but some of his hits weren't so bad. I was shocked. But the odd thing was, is I really liked the kid. He was super smart, really energetic, and sort of like an eager puppy dog. The contrast between the two sort of stuck in my mind. And we kept in touch over the years. And then as time went on, I started seeing more kids like him who seemed to be interested in Kaczynski's predictions. I wasn't really looking for a story at first. I was just sort of meeting people and taking stuff in. It didn't really click for years that there might be a story there.
So talk a little bit about where those of this Luigi story, as well as the story of the Unabomber, of how they align. But because you make the point in the book, they also differ quite a bit as well.
Well, I mean, I think the points in which they align are really sort of common. A lot of people agree with Kaczynski's predictions, that he was predicting that AI would become more and more complicated, and eventually we wouldn't understand it, and then we'd have to decide whether to let it do its thing or sort of be its slaves or fight back. He predicted that technology in general would become more and more cumbersome, more and more ruling of our lives. It would become cogs in the machine, as everybody has said for two centuries now. So that kind of thinking is getting increasingly common, I think, not just amongst young people, but amongst a surprising range of older people. You know yourself, you can't open a newspaper or turn on the TV these days without hearing some AI is going to destroy the world. You might shrug it off as an older person, but growing up with that is pretty scary, I think. And that's the generation that Luigi Mangione is part of. I think, especially as an older person, it's a little bit shocking when you go into that world of young folks online and stuff, and you see what's going on. There is a lot of distress.
What was it, do you think, that led to that Free Luigi movement, where people were saying, Okay, but this guy is speaking for us. Maybe we're not condoning the murder of a man, however, and dot dot dot. And
Well, I think there's a lot of things that kick into that, and part of it is his choice, his apparent choice, assuming the police are telling everything accurately, of a healthcare CEO. I mean, this is a pain point in our economy, in our country, that is profound and widespread and bipartisan. There probably isn't anything that you could get people to agree on more than that the healthcare system is a mess. That public reaction of approval, although it was shocking and it was partly media, it was partly online, it wasn't completely real, I don't think, but the extent to which it was real sort of shows us like there are places in which Kaczynski's predictions have reached a pain point that is getting to be pretty universal, and that raises concerns. But I want to, you mentioned that Mangione diverges from Kaczynski quite a bit, and I think it's important to say, like, Kaczynski, he sent out bombs to strangers who were very loosely, someone was a forestry executive, one was a computer store owner. They were people who didn't, you don't sort of feel like they're the bad guys. They're just regular folks. So I think, and Luigi rejected that. He called it terrorism. And so it's complicated where he fits into all of this as an individual. Getting into the particulars of his case can, in some ways, distract you from the larger truths of social, what's going on in our society.
Do you think that this would have become the uproar, if you will, that it became? I mean, obviously a murder, I'm not talking about that aspect. I'm talking about the media sensation part of it, where if it were not for that, this was a good-looking guy who within hours, within minutes of his arrest, there are shirtless pictures all over the internet, and people are creating memes and so forth. That it was already there of the concern over someone avenging or the thought of someone avenging what they see as what's wrong with the healthcare system. And yet you add all of this into it, and suddenly you have a groundswell.
His good looks definitely turbocharged the whole thing. I think there's distinct audiences. There is an audience that is more pop culture-y, sort of thinking of him as a sort of leading man character. But then there's more people who are very deeply concerned about healthcare and people who are more deeply concerned about class war and other issues that he seems to touch on. It's not just his good looks, it's also his sort of polite behavior. I mean, it sounds odd to talk about in terms of a crime like this, but he literally apologized for causing strife and pain in some notes that he wrote to the police officer. He made efforts not to harm innocents, as he called it. I think there was a sense among the public that grew up pretty quickly that he was, in a bizarre way, well-intentioned and not a person that was driven by hatred. So I think that also contributed to the feeling that, oh, well, this guy did a bad thing, but he's not necessarily a bad guy. And so it was easier to approve of him. But an awful lot of the approval came out of his choice or his apparent choice, of a target, of a CEO, because CEOs are of a different order of human in a way, they have all the power.
The crime itself was eerie because it was a guy ultimately walking to work for a conference. He's being followed, and he comes out between two cars and he's gunned down right in front of the hotel he's about to walk into. And then he gets away for quite a while. I mean, that plays into it too, doesn't it? Because it does make it seem that so many people, CEOs and others, are incredibly vulnerable.
I didn't think of it that way. I guess the execution of it was, I mean, a lot of people asked whether he was a professional. And I
Right.
mean, there's still a tiny part of my mind that thinks maybe he agreed to take the fall for some professional for some reason, and that it wasn't actually him physically doing it. Although you couldn't, it's difficult to explain all the details, but I mean, some of the aspects of the case are really very confusing and difficult to piece together into a whole. But yeah, the sort of even the outfit he was wearing, which was so like out of a video game, he looked like an assassin in a video game.
Right.
It did seem it take on almost iconic qualities that were again sort of added to his impact.
The subtitle of the book, which is Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. So when it comes to the meaning, a lot of that is what we've learned from this, and I assume we're still learning from it, aren't we?
I think we are. I mean, there's an awful lot this case that is still mysterious and unknown. And I was sort of like trying writing a mystery in a way, following the clues, trying to see the patterns. And one of the remarkable things about Luigi's online history is that it seems so non-remarkable. It's like any other young college kid who's been reading widely in contemporary life. You're reading people of influence, from Joe Rogan to Jordan Peterson to Carl Sagan. I don't know. He read a lot and a lot of different things, but he wasn't reading crazy radicals or anything like that. So in terms of the larger meaning, I think that's the thing that is, I mean, there's a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. The thing that's remarkable about Lu what Luigi is really that he's not, he doesn't seem to be an outlier. He doesn't seem to be have crazy conspiracy ideas or crazy race ideas, or he doesn't seem motivated by anger or bitterness or personal trauma or anything like that. He seems, and this is the scary part, like a representative of his generation. Pretty it's normal and in the pocket, only this seems acceptable to not just him, but to an awful lot of people. I mean, I know you've seen that Emerson College poll that was taken just after the shooting,
Yeah.
where 41% of the kids up to 29, 28 thought it was okay to shoot Thompson. To me, it's not, then it doesn't become okay, well, let's put this guy in jail, or let's blame this individual, or focus on how he got to be the way he got to be. Because if when we look at how he got to be the way he got to be, it's the same as all of us.
When you think about where this case goes, obviously he has pled not guilty, and you do have to wonder. I mean, he's most likely going to go to prison for the rest of his life. How does that figure into this group of people who believes that what he did was in some way fair?
Well, I mean, I don't know what he thinks now of what he did and what he's going to be saying as he goes forward in this world, presumably after his trial with Kaczynski and with other prisoners who've been convicted. Sometimes they recant, sometimes they continue advocating for their beliefs from behind bars. That could make a big difference to a lot of young people if he's convicted and still alive and articulates something that speaks to them. When you look at him as an individual, he does seem to have like gotten more agitated towards the end of his public phase. Before, there was a period when he went dark and didn't talk to any friends or appear online for a few months. And I think it seems as if maybe something happened in that period psychologically that tipped him a little farther. I don't know. But It's possible that he's got regrets. I don't know. I really don't know. And so that's going to all play into what effect he has.
Just because, I mean, some of us, the last time we saw him as speaking is going into court and for the indictment and going after the press and others and screaming and a lot of things attributed to that, but obviously a deep anger.
Right, that insult to the intelligence of the American people. But yeah, we don't know what exactly he meant by that, and or who he was angry, angry at the police, angry at the media. I definitely see the police and the authorities' concern with like getting his message that, I mean, they've restricted releases of his material, his writings and stuff, and still haven't released all of it. And I think they're legitimately worried that he could be influential to other people.
The name of the book, Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. It is published by Simon and Schuster. John Richardson, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.